Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Generation Y ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible, starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
There are days like today where I am just too busy to get outside and go feed myself. And that's where DoorDash comes in. It's super convenient, and they bring the food to me. Also, I don't like paying delivery fees, so I have DashPass. DashPass is an exclusive membership from DoorDash that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders and members-only deals and discounts, all for only $9.99 a month. DashPass actually pays for itself in 2 orders on average. DashPass makes it easy to save at restaurants, grocery stores, and all your local favorites. Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for DashPass today only on DoorDash and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply. How you doing tonight, Aaron?
Well, I hope I'm doing good, Justin.
Okay. I just put out a 2-parter on The Peripheral. It's not all me. It's a bunch of podcasts got together and Shane from Foul Play organized, I think it's like 31 stories, and they're all from paranormal to scary murderers, all for Halloween. So check that out. If you like it, check out some of the podcasts that contributed to.
But this is essentially our Halloween episode chosen by you.
Yeah, I was trying to find somewhat of one of our throwbacks when we used to cover mysterious things, paranormal things, UFOs, that type of stuff. I mean, we've covered Bigfoot, Loch Ness, even Mothman. So, you know, I thought, let's take a break from murder and mayhem. And
you and your murder and mayhem.
Let's do something a little bit more lighthearted, I guess.
Is it though? Yeah, it's definitely something that's off the beaten track for us. And we'll just see how it goes. There's a lot of interesting information about this area. And there are a lot of stories. And sometimes reading up on this or watching things on it, I got the feeling that they all started to sound similar, but some of these stories are just outright bizarre.
And this is a story that I remember as a kid hearing about it and being intrigued by it. This is a story that has been rehashed and re-put out there over and over again. And it's almost the Bermuda Triangle of, you know, the mountainous region of Utah.
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500.
This episode is brought to you by June's Journey. Unleash your inner sleuth and step into the glamorous 1920s. Uncover scandalous family secrets and solve the mysterious murder of June Parker's sister. With dazzling hidden object scenes and riveting storylines in each chapter, June's Journey invites you to a thrilling era of mystery and romance. And now, June needs your help, detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Your adventure awaits.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
So, with that, what are we talking about tonight, Aaron?
Well, tonight we're going to be talking about a place that has come to be known as Skinwalker Ranch, and it's in the Uinta Basin of northeastern Utah.
And I want to just say up front that this episode is all about this ranch, the families that lived there and what they reported, and has very little to do with the Native American belief system, what they believe with skinwalkers. I think Skinwalker Ranch has about as much to do or much relation with actual Native American beliefs as, say, the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, you can't just slap a name or an arrowhead on something and then claim it has something to do with this culture, because this ranch, there's very little, if anything, about this story that actually applies to what the indigenous people in that area actually believe.
Right. And it gets so complex. There's just no way for us, if we're going to tell this story on the paranormal side, to go into all that other stuff without making this a 3-hour endeavor.
Yeah. So I think that their beliefs are incredibly interesting. And I liked reading up on it. I liked hearing what they had to say. But this episode is really about this ranch and how it has pretty much appropriated their belief system and turned it into what it is today, which we'll get to that.
Right. Well, let's talk briefly about what a skinwalker is, just for the purpose of this episode and to kind of put all of this in context. A skinwalker is considered to be a type of harmful witch who has the ability to turn into, possess, or disguise themselves as an animal. But again, that's how the people who talk about this ranch, that's literally their definition.
Yeah.
And it may or may not represent Native American lore.
Exactly. So this all happened when a family by the name of Sherman, of the Shermans, moved in, right?
Yeah, Sherman Ranch, it's about 500 acres near the small Utah communities of Roosevelt, Ballard, and Fort Duchesne. It's considered to be a hotspot, Justin, right? Of paranormal activity, of unusual happenings. And they say that this all first came to the attention of the public due to the work of Joseph Jr. Hicks. Now, he was a science teacher and a former World War II pilot, very much into aviation. He was eventually the primary source for a book, The Utah UFO Display by Frank Salisbury.
Now, this was all in the mid to late 60s, and UFOs and the whole ancient astronaut theorist kind of theory, all of that stuff was gaining traction at that time. And you had Roswell that sort of kickstarted all of this UFO hysteria, I guess.
A friend of Hicks, who was a teacher, contacted him and told him that he and his students had seen UFOs, which are unidentified flying objects, passing over the school. And Hicks became fascinated. So this all kind of started in 1951. And of course, not long after that, there was controversial film footage of flying discs taken by a warrant officer with the Navy near Tremonton. And this made the news in 1952. So you get through the 50s and into the 60s, and Hicks claimed that he investigated between 400 and 600 UFO sightings just in the span of 1966 and 67.
Now, Aaron, he's hanging out in this area for 2 years with the intent of documenting all of this UFO phenomena. Does he have a camera with him? We had photography back in the 60s. In fact, the black and white photos were beautiful. The color ones were a little more grainy, but yeah, I'm just wondering, of 400 something sightings, not one photograph? Okay.
Well, it's tough, Justin. There's actually apparently a phenomena where people, when they see unidentified flying objects, they don't think of taking pictures of it. They're so wrapped up in what they see. It's almost like a tractor beam is locked in on their head and they can't turn away to get that camera. Do you know what I mean?
I would just assume that if you're not expecting it, sure, you know, you don't have a camera on you. This is the 60s. We don't have phones on us. But when this guy is intentionally there with the sole purpose of investigating this phenomena, how could he not get one picture? I don't know. That's just a question I have. And at this point, Kenneth and Edith Myers are the owners of the ranch. Now, what did these craft look like, Aaron?
Well, these craft apparently, I mean, and this is taking in all these reports, they were about 40 feet across and they had pulsating lights around the edge, a light on top, and a strange red energy ray that emanated from the bottom of the craft.
Sounds like every great sci-fi movie from the 1950s. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, they describe this light on the bottom. They said it's not like a light suddenly coming on. You know, sometimes you watch the street lights come on at night. No, they said this light would emanate slowly from the craft. And then it looked almost like that red light was searching for something.
It was like a ray of light, not just a burst of light.
Right. So there are many witnesses, apparently. We're talking about hundreds of witnesses. And sometimes people said they were as close as 30 feet from one of these objects. But yeah, again, these are eyewitness accounts. People are giving their story to the media and saying, this is what I saw.
Yeah. If you know anything about this area, it is way out there. I'm not going to say it's out in the boonies, but there's not a lot of, there's no city, there's no society around here. So at night, you don't have any light pollution and you don't have any fog or any kind of pollution really. So it gives you the most amazing, brilliant night skies you'll ever see. Maybe they caught a weather balloon. Maybe they saw satellite, you know, later on. There are things that you can see with the naked eye up in the night sky when you have zero light pollution. But when there are some of these witnesses that say it's the middle of the day, you know, it's around lunchtime and it's this object's 30 feet away. Yeah, you can't exactly explain that away besides, well, maybe they know that this is a news article that's going on in their area and they want to get quoted too.
So the area, I mean, you talked about the area, it's wide open, very rugged territory, and it's populated by cottonwood trees. People, not so much.
Yeah, few and far between.
So of course, because of these sightings and because the stories start coming out, this ranch really gained some attention, right? I mean, this is a story that takes off in 1978. It's titled Area Residents Report UFOs. And there's actually a reporter with that paper who was with her 10-year-old son. And she talks all about what they saw.
It even got picked up by the National Enquirer. This is going viral in the day and getting national coverage, which is why I heard about it as a child. But it really got catapulted into the mainstream in the mid-90s. And of course, this is right when I'm between 16 to 18 years old. So this is right up my alley. I'm listening to Coast, just like you, Aaron. And, you know, we're into paranormal UFO phenomena. And this is hitting big when the Sherman family moves in.
But Coast to Coast AM is really, I think, the way that many people got in tune with this stuff. And me, I'm definitely a skeptic. You know, I'm interested in things, but I just don't really believe in them. But there's nothing like listening to Art Bell talk about his interest in these things. It makes you interested. And of course, he has all these fascinating guests on, like Colm Kelleher or George Norrie or whoever else, talking about the events that they know, or they say they know, occurred at this ranch. And so you can actually find that audio if you search for it. I've listened to pretty much, I don't know, I think I have listened to most Coast to Coast AM episodes, at least the ones that Art Bell did. So this is how I really learned about this, is through Coast to Coast AM.
Now, when we started, you were talking about Hicks doing all this investigation work, and he was all over this area. It wasn't just the ranch that he was on and reporting about all these UFO sightings and whatnot. So now you have Terry and Gwen Sherman coming in and buying this ranch right when staff writer Zach Van Eyck from the Desert News published a story called Frequent Flyers. And so I'm wondering if there is a connection here on the Sherman seeing all the attention that this ranch is getting and then saying, oh, well, we think there might be something going on too. So what did the Sherman family report?
Well, their take on it was, and this is something we know because Terry Sherman spoke with Desert News. Terry said, for a long time, we wondered what we were seeing, if it was something to do with a top secret project. I don't really know what to think about it.
They're seeing aerial phenomena, things in the sky, flying around. Again, very little to do with the Native American beliefs about skinwalkers.
But we do have their accounts. They have spoken about what they've seen with their own eyes. I mean, the Shermans, their teenage son and 10-year-old daughter, they talked about seeing three different types of UFOs in 15 months. Small box-like craft with white light, a 40-foot-long object, and a huge ship the size of several football fields, which you see something like that. I mean,
yeah,
shocking, right? Something that large in the sky.
They're reporting this. They're talking about all of these UFOs. And again, this is the 90s now. We have cameras. We have video cameras. We have camcorders. We have all kinds of ways to document this. But they claim that the batteries in their cameras would die or malfunction in general. So they couldn't take photos. They couldn't get any sort of documentation of any of these claims.
But you've seen pictures and videos of unexplained craft, right? Unidentified craft. And what are your thoughts when you do see it?
Well, usually it's so poor quality that you can't say, is this a man-made object or a UFO or something from out of this world? They're usually terrible. But I guess when you're making so many claims about something that's the size of a football field, I think a photo of that would be a little bit more decisive.
So, of course, they talk about seeing a craft emit a wavy red ray. They also claim to have seen other unexplained airborne lights, some emitted from orange circular doorways that appeared in midair. This is one of the things that we've learned about Justin is it's not just strange craft. It's not just strange lights or orbs. There are also apparently openings in the sky.
Portals, if you will.
Yes.
And on the ground, too.
Circles, right? A flattened grass about 8 feet across in a triangular pattern about 30 feet from each other. So strange patterns on the ground, basically crop circles, right? That's what people have come to call them. And of course, weird impressions in the soil that are a foot or two deep and about 3 feet wide, unexplained, just in the dirt.
And there shouldn't be anything out here. As much as we call this a ranch, this is high desert. You're not growing a lot of crops out here. The soil is very rocky. And for something to actually leave this kind of impression or dig its legs or whatever into the ground would take a lot of weight and a large object.
Well, that's what they're wondering. Are these landing impressions from a UFO?
I don't know. I would have to see a photo of it to give an opinion, and they didn't even take a photo of the ground, but here we are.
There's a story from Terry Sherman where they were out there with the family dogs, and they heard male voices speaking in a language they didn't understand. And Terry claimed that the voices seemed to be coming from above him, 25 feet above him. But when he looked around, he didn't see anything. But the dogs were going crazy. They were barking and growling. And then they ended up running off back to the ranch house.
At this point that, you know, they're installing chains on their front porch. They're installing cameras. They are trying to protect themselves and catch what is going on outside, according to them.
One of the repeated stories that you hear about the ranch isn't just UFO lore, but you also hear about cattle mutilation. And this is something that people have talked about for many years.
Yeah. They do take photos of the dead cattle, and they'll show, you know, maybe its skin has been torn or cut. And they're like, this is almost laser precision. This is surgical mutilation. But when I look at a lot of these photos, Aaron, I know, like, when boxers will be fighting and you're getting clubbed over the head with this huge glove, yet some of the cuts that appear on their forehead, more or less a tear, they look like someone cut them with a razor. And so I look at a lot of the cattle mutilations and I think, well, yeah, their eyes and their tongues are going to be eaten first by predation. And if a bobcat or a large predatory animal took a swat at them, yeah, it can look like the skin is cut with surgical precision when it's really just torn or has been shredded by a talon of some sort or claw.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements. I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better. Notice things like your hair and your nails feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
But some of these stories, especially George Knapp and Colm Kelleher, have talked about this, and they say that in 1998, 1999, and 2000, every one of the cattle that was mutilated was pregnant at the time. But when the bodies of these cows were found and then they were examined, they were empty. it's surmised that something took the fetus of these calves, right? Each of them out of the cows. And all they could find when they actually did autopsies was there was a bunch of scarring inside their wombs. So I don't know what to make of that. But of course, this is just, we're taking their stories and relating them. I mean, we didn't examine the animals. We don't have photographic evidence of this. So once again, it's a story, and this is what we know. This is what we've heard.
And then the stories start to shift from UFOs in the sky to things on the ground. And one of the first oddities that they report is a large wolf, or a dire wolf, which is a wolf that's about the size of a horse. And they claim that they were working outside, and there was a cow across the yard, and they see this large wolf out in the distance. And of course, their dogs begin to bark and alerting to this. And they talk about this wolf, and they say that it approaches slowly. They say that it doesn't look menacing, meaning its ears aren't back. It looks somewhat docile, although it's the size of a horse. And it approaches them and actually lets them pet it. And I don't know why you'd want to pet a wolf that's almost as tall as you.
I mean, I wouldn't pet a wolf that was a regular sized wolf.
Yeah. But they're claiming that they're outside by the truck, and this wolf comes up, and as maybe as unsettling as the size of the wolf is, they're all standing around just sort of dumbfounded by it, I guess. Because personally, I think if I was Terry Sherman, I would be telling everybody to get in the truck or get inside the house if this walked up. I mean, there's no reason to not seek shelter from such a large animal, dangerous animal for that matter. But they say that this wolf attacked one of their calves. And that's when Terry got his, you know, 357 Magnum revolver out of his truck and shot at the wolf. And he said it had no impact. It seemed to do nothing. And they talk about these large wolves a lot and how they would kill their cow.
So for people wondering, because I think we should explain this a little better, but dire wolves, if there was one at the time, they're bigger than a large wolf, right? So a large wolf would be, say, a timber wolf, and they're about 6 feet long. But a dire wolf, you'd have to add a couple more feet onto that thing.
Well, I think a lot of people have watched Game of Thrones, and they're portrayed very well in there. They talk about how they had six bulls, like these huge bulls, male cows, whatever. I guess a UFO or something comes overhead. Everyone on the ranch is dumbstruck and doesn't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden the bulls disappear, and they find the bulls inside of this trailer that is only about 20 feet long and, 10 feet wide, which means you have to line these bulls up perfectly to get them all to fit inside of this trailer, Aaron. And it had to have been this alien craft that was able to transport the bulls into this animal trailer, because no human could have gotten them in there so quickly.
Yeah, there's another story of bulls being moved into a shed.
We might even be talking about the same story, but it's been repeated so many times that maybe one person said it's an animal trailer, and somebody else says it's a shed now. It could be the same story, but the telephone game makes it change over time. They also report sensations in the ground, like the ground rumbling, like somebody's driving a bulldozer or something by, and sounds of colossal machines moving underground.
So unsettling sounds, unexplained sounds. What's going on here?
And then there's this report of water babies, which are children said to have been drowned and now lurk in bodies of water in the afterlife. And they mimic the cries of babies to lure us or animals to the water's edge. So then they can snatch them and drag them into the water. And this is now part of the stories from the family, and they talk about the portals again. And what do they say about that? There was like a opening that came outside of their house, a big opening.
Well, according to Terry, he witnessed firsthand from a ridge overlooking the desert, a portal. And from this portal, an 8-foot humanoid creature who was dressed all in black stepped through this portal and into, I guess, our world.
This is all his word. This is what he's seeing. And you have aliens, you have, you know, transdimensional beings or interdimensional beings, you have large wolves, you have UFOs flying overhead, orbs. You got it all in this story, right? I mean, this is just covering all of the bases in from all of the stories that people knew from the 60s and 70s about UFOs and paranormal creatures.
Well, and the Sherman family, they had, of course, spoken with Desert News, and there was this frequent flyers article that was basically towards the end of their ownership of this ranch, and they sold it in 1996. It wasn't, I guess, News who bought the ranch, but they eventually figured out who it was. It was Robert Bigelow, who was the founder of Bigelow Airspace, and they are... Well, they're pretty known for being the first to develop and test the technology for inflatable space habitats.
And I can only assume they have some big government contracts, and Bigelow is rich enough to buy this ranch and rich enough to turn it into his own investigative platform, right?
Yeah, apparently he had a very strong interest in the unexplained, in the supernatural, the paranormal, in what we would term fringe science.
That's being generous. Yeah.
Yeah. They say that in 2021, Robert Bigelow offered $1 million to anyone who could help him prove that consciousness can continue after bodily death. So I think that says more about his interests than about him figuring something out personally.
And he's now regurgitating a lot of the stories from the Shermans and the previous owners about the going ons at this ranch, and he is setting up cameras. He's setting up a whole system to document what's going on with the intent of selling the story.
Well, I think, you know, for a lot of people who believe in Robert Bigelow, they would say, well, he has a foundation. It's the National Institute for Discovery Science, NIDS. And that was founded in 1995. Now, we don't really know how it was funded. It was probably funded by Bigelow, but he may have had friends join in. Some people say even the U.S. government got involved in that. I don't know why they would, but that's the story. Because he has NIDS, this is the perfect place to set up investigations, right? So let me just put it this way. I think the reason why this has gotten so much attention is because there are people out there who believe in conspiracy theories. They believe in these ideas that the government is testing or attempting to discover things that we do not have a handle on. And when you go back to stories about portals opening and people walking out of them or creatures, then, well, if they could figure this stuff out, that could be incredibly helpful to the government, right?
Yeah.
So that's how they tie that together, I believe.
I see a huge plot hole here because the government can buy up and take any land it wants. I mean, this is why this ranch is such a hot spot. I would just presume that the government would come in and buy it up and use it to further investigate this aerial phenomena and figure out that technology. But for some reason, they leave it in the private sector and let these people live there, even though it's such a incredible hotspot of supernatural and paranormal phenomena.
Well, but that's where people would point to Robert Bigelow and say, there's their partner.
He's in on it.
You know, you bring in someone who would know what to do with the investigation, how to steer it, how to collect the data, right? So they have him. So Bigelow, as far as we know, was doing a lot of investigations out there, and they had these observation platforms built on the ranch. They had dogs at these platforms who could raise the alarm just in case anything approached from the surrounding wilderness.
So they have dogs on 20-foot chains as their alert system. They have cameras. They have these observation platforms, or, you know, I guess in the hunting world, it'd be called the blinds, and they're ready for anything.
Yeah. And there are stories that dogs were mysteriously released from these locked pens or chains, and that they would be found running around, or these dogs would be seen barking at the air, supposedly hearing voices from overhead, but nothing was seen. And so this is where they blame a trickster, someone who was in an unusual or invisible form. But this whole investigation thing that people claimed that maybe the government was even in on with Robert Bigelow, well, it lasted until 2004. And the only way to really find information on NIDS is you need to use the Wayback Machine. A lot of it's not readily available. And I spent some time looking through it. But for those thinking that Robert Bigelow was in with the government, well, if he was ever in with the government, that came to an end at some point, because in March of 2021, he ended up suing NASA for $1.05 million, saying that he was not paid according to contract for product testing and development. Remember, he is the founder of Bigelow Aerospace. Yeah, apparently he says that things didn't work out between his group and the government. So if they were in cahoots, well, it didn't end well.
And it's in 2016 that a shell company ends up buying this ranch.
Yeah, and I read the name, Justin. It says Adamantium Holdings. And my first thought is...
Wolverine.
Yeah.
And people will create shell companies, which is essentially a bogus company, to do business, whether it be to shield their own identity, shield their taxes and assets, whatever it is. And they'll use this company to buy something so they can be anonymous. But this company, well, we'll find out who actually is behind most of it.
Right. But what people realize right away is that when this company, Adamantium Holdings, gets a hold of this ranch, they secure the crap out of it, right? I mean, they go in and they start putting up fences and barricades to keep people away from it.
Becomes a very gated area, and your animals aren't just going to stumble into this field anymore because it's all fenced off. It's very secure, and it's all for being able to control what's going on this ranch. So who's the new owner?
Well, the new owner is eventually revealed to be Brandon Fugel, and he's a real estate mogul from Utah and a self-professed skeptic.
Now, he's a skeptic, but he comes in with the intent of investigating this ranch. He comes in with the intent of documenting what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess if you're saying you're a skeptic and you want to disprove things, that's one thing, but proving a negative is really hard. So claiming you're a skeptic and then trying to document the weird stuff, well, that sort of goes against your whole, I'm a skeptic.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you would think that hopefully a skeptic would be open enough to admitting to seeing things, even if it defied their normal beliefs, right? But I know what you're saying. It seems like he sets this up where he's allowing even, you know, other investigators to come in and access the ranch. And so, this isn't exactly skepticism at work here, I would say. This is more like, what can we do with this place?
When you talk about investigators, I mean, even the likes of Ghost Adventures has investigated or gone through this ranch. It's getting to all the TV reality shows and networks.
And he has a quote. It says, 6 months into our investigation, I had an experience while entertaining a visiting dignitary and his security detail that involved an undeniable sighting of what can only be described as a 40 to 50 foot long, silver grayish disc-like object that performed maneuvers that were stunning and defy conventional explanation. He said that happened in broad daylight and that there were multiple people who saw it.
Not one pulled out a phone.
Well, let's address that for a moment, Justin. There are people writing books about this ranch that go and do interviews about this ranch and talk about the things they've seen, about the cattle mutilations, about portals, about odd occurrences, right?
Yeah.
Things like cattle suddenly being moved or killed, what have you. And yet when they're asked, can you show us evidence of this? They pretty much just have to point to Robert Bigelow and say, well, he's got all of it because he was the one that was collating the information. He was collecting it all. So again, we're asking, like, can we see stuff? And right now there are a lot of interesting stories, but we're waiting on those pictures.
Yeah. I mean, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. We're not even asking for extraordinary evidence. I'm asking for one photo of this 50-foot long silver craft in broad daylight, and there isn't one.
Yeah, and this is at a time where you would think there could be a pretty good picture of such a thing, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the batteries didn't work.
But it's in 2017 that the U.S. government makes a claim here.
Well, it really comes about because of the New York Times. They report the existence of a previously unpublicized program. It's known as Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. They call it ATIP. Now, this program was meant to evaluate threats from unidentified aerial objects. Now, I hear that and I think, well, we don't know what other countries are developing and flying. We don't know if things are visiting us from other worlds. We have no idea. So this is basically a program that evaluates threats. And so they try to capture things on video, right?
But this advanced aerospace, this ATEP, they weren't created based on this ranch and the UFO phenomenon there. This group was created for a lot of other reasons, probably more Earth-related reasons, but it was another video from the U.S. Navy pilot video, right, that really is tied to this ATIP group, not this ranch.
Are you talking about the Tic Tac UFO?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was from 2004. And man, that was all over the news, right? Everybody wanted to talk about it.
It's still in the news today.
And what do you think of the video?
It's unexplainable, and it's good quality. And, you know, you have military pilots, you have radars, you have all of this stuff documenting this, and you have this aerial phenomena that is moving in a way that we don't have anything that moves like that. It's defying gravity and physics.
So you can find this video today, search for USS Nimitz Tic Tac, and you'll find it. They say this is a declassified video. So forward-looking infrared, right? Mm-hmm. This is the only video they have from the incident, they say.
And this video is very compelling. And this government department, this program, was funded for the years of 2007 to 2012 before it was shut down. And it had nothing to do with this ranch, but the people that love the lore of this ranch will talk about and tie these two things together.
Well, I think it's one thing to have all these stories, right? But without actual video or photographic evidence, there are people saying, but come on, show me. I think you've been doing that. But they can point over to this incident with the USS Nimitz and say, but wait, look at that. See? There are unexplained things out there. So why can't you understand what we've been telling you? Why would all these people make it up? We're telling you these stories because we've seen these things. That's what they're trying to say.
because one thing, one time, one video, I cannot justify a million other videos or a million other allegations or claims to be true. I have to take it case by case.
Right. So, but if you read about this, I mean, not to go too far off track here, but this Tic Tac UFO here, you read about it and there's a retired U.S. Navy Lieutenant Commander, Alex Dietrich, and she talked about this. And according to her, it looked like a smooth white oblong object that kind of looked like a Tic Tac breath mint that was flying high speed over the water and didn't appear to have any means of propulsion. It was just flying quickly over the water. Her and a fellow pilot named David Fravor, I hope I got his name right, they saw this churning of the ocean surface before seeing this object. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, they went out there because there were radar contacts in the area that could not be explained. The way the objects were moving just didn't make sense. So, you know, even myself as a skeptic, when you have Navy personnel who are used to seeing things, who are saying, we don't know what this is, that's interesting. I don't know what it is, but I believe them when they say that they don't know what it is either.
Yeah.
So I think it makes things interesting.
Definitely.
But you're right. It doesn't, you can't take that story and then immediately apply it to this ranch and say, well, I mean, then some of that has to be true too. Like there are definitely unexplained things happening there.
But we now have the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force that replaced ATIP and, Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a mouthful. So the government, I mean, I think it's from this 2004 Tic Tac video, the government is taking it more seriously.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Some of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but time for what? If time was unlimited, what would you use it for? If you need to squeeze a special thing into your schedule, do you even know what's important to you and how to make that a priority? Well, with therapy, you can find out what matters to you so you can do more of it. We all need to vent sometimes. We all need to talk about some of the things that have happened to us. And I'll tell you right now, your friends might be sick of hearing about it. So take the burden off them. Let a professional help you. Sometimes it's as simple as just getting something off your back and letting somebody else know, so you can feel validated and move on with your life. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/GenY today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GenY.
Now, how many people do you think want to visit this ranch and have their own sighting?
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the reasons why they've locked it down, because they don't want people just walking onto the property, just for liability reasons alone. I mean, you can fall off this big ridge, hurt yourself. You could be bit by a rattlesnake, something, you know, whatever, because it's become so popular, especially in reality shows. I'm sure people are flocking to it. And, They want to control what's documented and said about this area.
That's one way to do it. It's theirs. And I get that. But for those of us that are curious, we would like to see, hear, and understand more about what goes on out there, right? If there is unexplained phenomena happening out there. But unfortunately, it's been locked down for a long time, it feels like. But there are people who have come out and tried to explain why we don't have the data, right? We've talked about this throughout the episode. We don't have pictures. We don't have video evidence where they could say, all right, I can't prove to you that this was some sort of craft from another world, but tell me what you think it is. And then we would be replying with, I don't know what that is, but we don't have that. So there was an investigator who talked about this. And they labeled it as precognitive symbiont intelligence. This was Dr. John B. Alexander. And this is a way to explain all this, right? How can no one get evidence? People experience stuff out there. They can tell you about it, but they can't prove it to you. They can't even give you anything to make you think twice. And what this is about, according to Dr. Alexander, is that this entity who they believe is responsible for this stuff can actually predict what you're going to do. So people with cameras would point them in a direction of lights they see, and then the lights would suddenly be somewhere else, or they would disappear. Someone would let the dogs out, and they'd set a trap just in case it would happen again, but then it wouldn't. It's almost like no matter what they tried to prepare for, things would not happen the same way or in a way that you could predict, because whatever the entities are out there, or entity, it would know what you were doing, what you were up to, and it would foil your plans.
Well, that's a great explanation of why no one can document this. But Brandon and his team, they claim they've been documenting this, and they even have a whole reality show, Aaron. It's called The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. Have you watched it?
I have watched some of it, yes.
I'm going to try to be nice here. I know that there are a lot of people involved, but Brandon saying he's a self-proclaimed skeptic, and then you have Travis Taylor, who is essentially the scientist of the team that's conducting experiments and trying to gather evidence or disprove things. And then you have the whole team of guys that live or work the ranch, but really they're not working the ranch. They're working the reality show. And this whole thing is pretty much been monetized and commercialized. Is that a word? Now, what did you think of the reality show, Aaron? Because I got my opinions and I'm going to hold back for a minute.
Well, I think if you're interested in this ranch and its history, then I think the show does a good job of feeding information to you from people and showing you things, you know, showing you the ranch where you stay interested. It's just enough to keep you interested, right? Mm-hmm. You know, look, I mean, there are those of us that say, show me something, give me proof, but that they can't make a series of this and then show you something in the first episode that's basically all they have, right? Whatever they have, if they have anything. So they have to draw it out, because otherwise you don't have a series. You would have a documentary. And that's not what they did here. It's obvious why they don't have a documentary, because they don't have this evidence that would knock people off their feet and make them say, oh my goodness, I was a skeptic, and now everything I thought was true, meaning science, that I'm going to have to throw it out the window because I'm seeing things that just shouldn't be. I can't explain this.
But the show and Brandon, they claim that they're finding evidence, and they're showing you on this reality show the evidence that they've collected, and it's unexplained, and they portray it as, you debunk this because we're finding all of this unexplainable stuff with all of our high-end scientific equipment and our experiments that we're running. There's things that are completely unexplainable on this ranch, Aaron.
Yeah. So if you have it in your head that this ranch is amazing and that there are all kinds of visitors from other worlds via spacecraft from other worlds or from portals, you're going to be disappointed. I think that the people that are into this stuff, they're not actually expecting to see something. They're waiting for it, but not seeing it hasn't stopped them from watching. The show is still on because people are watching. And so I think it's keeping them hooked in a way. But for those of us that want the proof, and they're saying, you know, you have all these cameras, and we're talking about in 2022 here, we have modern cameras, right? 2021, 2022, we have HD cameras. I mean, I can use my Samsung 22 Ultra and I can get a really nice picture of the moon now. But why don't we have some kind of picture of a dire wolf or a person coming out of a portal, something?
I'll tell you why, Aaron. Reality shows have reality in their title or their name, I guess, but I know people in the industry and there's very little reality going on in reality shows. It's TV producers that don't care to hire writers and they're just going to put microphones on a bunch of people and video or film them running around doing whatever. And then they create drama, they create tension, they create a storyline with just what they have in front of their cameras. I have one friend, he went on a reality show to get a tattoo, and he had actually got the tattoo or received the tattoo from the artist on the show, but he had got the tattoo like 2 years prior. But of course he goes on the show and he gets this tattoo and they slather some Vaseline on it so it looks fresh, and they show some stock footage of the person doing the tattoo, and then he tells a little story about what it means to him, and that's the show. Another friend that worked in the clothing industry, and they wanted to do a reality show about the high-end, high-fashion clothing industry, and they were really efficient at their jobs, and the producers of the show were like, well, we need some drama, like the shipping department's not shipping the stuff out fast enough, so we need you to go back there and yell at them. And my friend's like, I'm not going to do that. And so the pilot never even got past the pilot portion because there wasn't enough drama or conflict in that reality show. So then here we are with the Secret of Skinwalker Ranch show, and knowing that this is all literally them running around with equipment that it doesn't even appear that they know how to use it correctly. or they use it and they get some information or they get a reading that's a little weird, and then they read it wrong, or they just don't get any of the data that they actually need to make a honest, you know, evaluation of what they're looking at. I mean, there's no scientific method employed at all when they're doing these episodes. And I just watched one literally before we started recording, and Travis is with the group and they're shooting these rockets up into the sky to get readings on stuff, and then acting like the readings are weird for some reason. And then he is behaving as if he's woken up in his little trailer, his little camper. And he's like, yeah, I heard this whooshing sound. And you see him walking out of the trailer and you see one of the rockets shooting up in the background. And he behaves as if he doesn't know what's going on or what this noise is or why his dogs are barking. You literally just showed us the rockets that you were shooting off earlier, but whatever. There's another one where they're doing a night shot and they're have all these spotlights and all these like laser pointers and stuff. And they're using their infrared and their night vision. And then they show the night sky and they're like, well, look at this huge ray of light up in the sky. What's that coming from? And I'm thinking it's coming from your vehicle with the huge spotlight shining up into the night sky. Then there's this other part where they have these multi-$1,000 drones covered in cameras and motion detection, and they're flying them around the ranch and hovering over a cow that seems to be in distress. And then in the very next scene, they have a photo of this cow, and there's something in the air above it. And they're like, oh my God, what's above the cow? That must be a UFO. We can't explain it. And I'm just thinking, you literally just had this drone above the cow, and then you took a photo of it, and now you're showing it to me and claiming it's a UFO. Like,
well, the cow was in distress, Justin. Yeah, it was afraid.
I felt more for the cow than anyone on the show. And then there's this whole thing about you can't dig on the ranch. Digging will cause the angry spirits to attack you or curse you. Bad things happen if you dig. So first they bring in this team of guys to do ground penetrating radar. And I just think to myself, so you can't put a shovel to the earth, but you can do ground penetrating radar and that won't upset the spirits. Like, what is the logic there? I don't know. And then they go on to have a Native American chief from one of the local tribes come over and do a blessing so they can actually break ground without being cursed. And so they get this guy, he comes over and he does this ritual, and they say, thank you for doing that. And he's like, well, none of you were actually saying it with me, saying the chant with me. So he goes, it's only really protecting me. It's not protecting you. And I'm just thinking, what was the whole point of this? If they're trying to do this blessing before a dig, but then the guy says, I hoped you all would have joined me in this blessing because you're the ones digging, not me. Then they pull out their Geiger counters and their all their scientific devices to measure things.
And their cell phones.
Yeah, and their cell phones. And they're talking about the radiation that's being emitted in this area. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. You know, we're getting hit with so much radiation here. And then they're talking about how the radiation is coming from the earth or coming from the sky. And that's why they were shooting the rockets up. But there's what's called radon gas. I mean, you own a home with a basement. I mean, every house you buy, they suggest that you do a radon testing. I mean,
yeah.
And a Geiger counter is not going to detect radon gas, but it will detect radioactive particles in the air. And if you're outside on the side of a mountain that's been eroded and scraped off, wind and dust is blowing around and your Geiger counter is going to detect something. And as soon as it detects something, instead of just thinking, well, maybe I'm in an area that has a lot of radon gas or radioactive particles emitting from the earth, they go straight to aliens. They go straight to, this is totally and completely unexplainable and it must be aliens. And that's kind of my problem with this whole thing, Aaron. It's always aliens, right?
Well, it's not just aliens, but it's also they use animals as bait on this show, right? The alpacas. That seemed a curious choice to me because people love those animals, right? And now you're using them as bait to maybe get killed or eaten or sent through a portal. Seems kind of weird. And, you know, there's something that happens with this show that happens with Oak Island show and a lot of these types of shows where they'll say, okay, today we're going to get to the bottom of things. We're going to do this. And whether it's digging or blasting something or setting up cameras, you know, at a certain area that has a lot of activity, whatever it is, they do that once. And then as soon as they fail or it's not working out, they're like, ah, well, we tried. I realize with a show, you can't get to the bottom of things, mostly because if there's something to be found, it usually takes a lot of work. And you can't just try something once for 10 minutes, for a half hour, whatever it is, and say, well, we tried. We're gonna do this other thing next now. You have to get a plan going and you have to see it through. But they don't do that on these shows because...
What's the fun in that, right?
Well, I mean... People have short attention spans, and the people who are really going to stick with you, who don't care if you find anything really, they just want you to go to the next thing, because if it's not working out right away, then let's try something else. We'll get something here.
You know, whether it's a ghost hunting show or a Bigfoot hunting show or this ranch show, it's always, we're doing these scientific experiments to gather evidence. But the first thing of a scientific experiment is a control group. And you can tell me all the history of this house that's haunted and then go in with your EMPs or whatever, you know, your little detectors and tell me how the house is haunted and prove your own hypothesis. You can tell me that there's radiation coming from the ground at this ranch, but what's the control? Go 20 miles down the street and do these same readings. Go to the house next door that didn't have anyone murdered in it and do these same things. And tell me how it works out for you. Because that's just science 101 here. This is just basic stuff. Give me a control group.
Yeah, but that's not really the purpose of this. So I think really, if you want to be nice about the show, because I mean, obviously some people love it, but I think it's more of just the... We're poking around in this area that you're curious about. So you're getting to see the area and we're poking around. We're going to dig some holes. We're going to show you some simulations of what may have occurred or what people saw, whatever it is. That's enough for people. In that regard, if they're entertaining people, then that's really, I guess that's okay. That's what people wanted. For those people that wanted answers, well, I guess the answers are whatever you want them to be.
And ultimately, they have appropriated Native American beliefs and culture and then turned it into exploitation to make money. That's what it is at the end of the day. I mean, they could name the ranch something else, but they don't, because they have to run with that, because it's the catch. It's what gets people watching.
And it's what it's known as. But, you know, like what we started with, this has nothing to do with Native Americans. This is really, that you could just call it Alien Ranch.
I know. It's just whatever it is, because it's nothing to do with the actual Skinwalker belief. It just seems ridiculous and exploitive to me when I see this show, when I hear about this ranch changing hands and then the next family or owner talks about this or that. And I remember, like, with the Amityville Horror House, same kind of deal. Finally got a buyer who said, hey, this place isn't haunted. There's something wrong here. So I look at the Bigelow and
Brandon Fugel.
And I think both of them just came in with the sole intent of capitalizing on this. And they had no interest in the actual, in anything but making money.
Well, I think there's some entertainment value here too. I spent some time reading reviews of this show, and it's neat reading reviews from people who actually are well experienced with something, say drilling, and just hearing them review the drilling aspect of the show. I don't know. It's kind of fun, but I think this is like anything else. Like I said, I'm a skeptic. I don't really believe in any of this stuff, but you know, I have my times, especially when Art Bell was talking about it, where I would tune in and I would listen because the stories are interesting, you know, and when people start describing things they've seen, you know, I can tell myself, I don't know what they saw really, but it's probably not real. But then I have my own story, Justin. Remember, I gave my story on one of our personal story episodes where I saw something I can't explain. I don't know what it was. But if you ask me, if you had to bet everything you own, I mean, is this really a craft, or were you just seeing something that, you know, wasn't really there? I would tell you, I'm pretty sure I saw a craft and I don't know what it was. You know, and it didn't even look that fancy. In fact, it's probably more akin to a black shiny Tic Tac, you know, what I saw flying through the air. But that's just it. There are things that have been seen by Navy pilots or by people. They can't explain it. They can tell you what's weird about it, but they can't tell you what it is. And I think that's just one of those things about life, is we can't know everything. But we do know that this has become a series on TV. If you want an explanation, well, it's a show.
Never miss an episode of Generation Y. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you're listening right now. After subscribing, please leave us a review. Our website is genypod.com. Visit to learn more about events and updates. Justin and I have other podcasts. Mine is Framed, an Investigative Story. Each season is a deep dive into a case that went wrong and why. Justin's other podcast is The Peripheral. His guests share personal stories most would consider taboo, but Justin doesn't judge. His podcast is a safe space for listeners and their stories.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go,
Tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.